Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. Thanks for listening to the podcast.
It's a mighty nice little pick in there, isn't it? I do like that. Hey, this is the Afternoon Show with Bill Arnold. I'm Neil Stavem sitting in this week. Glad to have you along and nice to be able to sit in and enjoy the music and the conversation. I hope you had a chance to listen earlier. The last hour you heard John and Pam Bloom and had a great conversation, Bill, talking with them. And part of the conversation, they were talking about prayer. And I want to remind you that tomorrow is Answer Prayer Friday, right? That's what we call it? That's the segment?
Yes.
Answer Prayer Friday.
That's what we call it.
Okay. All right.
Because it's about prayer and it's on a Friday.
All right. Yes.
Very original.
Sure. And so,
it's one of my favorite segments, actually. We just started doing it, and it gives people just a chance to report God's faithfulness. And how cool is that? It's just always encouraging.
So I'm mentioning that now so that you might just do a little thinking, because my guess is there's probably when we mentioned answered prayer, you thought immediately of something that, you know, God has done for you or on your behalf and worked in your life or in the life of someone that you love and care about. And you'd like to just talk about that, right? There's that verse in Psalm, was it Psalm 107, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, you know, whom the Lord has redeemed from the hand of the adversary. If God's done a work in your life, then we'd love to hear about it. So that's tomorrow afternoon to wrap up the week here on the Afternoon Show. Today, though, some great conversation coming up. In the second half of the hour, we're going to visit with Dr. Jeremiah Johnston from the Christian Thinkers Society. And so Rebecca is doing all the thinking for us now to be prepared. So,
oh, dear.
Yeah.
Was I supposed to do that?
I didn't know.
There was homework assigned.
I didn't know if I was qualified to dive in. But no, Jeremiah is just great speaker, thinker. He's president of the Christian Thinkers Society and has written several books, and we're going to talk with him, have a good conversation. I'm also going to talk about a brand new program coming to Faith Radio. Very excited about that. And in a few minutes, our friend Mindy Bells is going to come back to Faith Radio and just share stories. She travels the globe and just does an amazing job of reporting what God's doing around the world and where there are issues and prayer concerns. And speaking of prayer concerns, there's some answered prayer, and there's some areas where we need to continue to pray. So we're looking forward to talking to Mindy about that. And I hope that, listeners, wherever you might be tuned in today, you remember to pray for, parts of Wisconsin that have been devastated by severe storms and heavy downpours and flooding and tornadoes. And the Governor Walker declared a state of emergency for the entire state. And maybe you read the story, seen the story about the young boy rescued and, pretty amazing and touching stories. So just remember to pray for, things maybe going well for you today, but there are needs around us. So let's take a quick break and jump in with Mindy Belds from World Magazine just ahead.
When you support Faith Radio during our fall fundraiser known as Share, you provide hope and encouragement for all who listen. Whether they hear the relevant Bible preaching and teaching over the air, online through our website and mobile app, or on demand, lives are changed. Your gift of any amount matters, so please call 877-933-2484 and at the prompt, press 2 to begin your $1 a day gift. Thank you.
Back to school, in a sense, but really, is school ever out of session? The classroom changes to your backyard, the road trip, even your TV or tablets. We're always learning something from someone, and in this life, you never ever graduate. The question simply is, what class are you taking? Welcome to Faith Radio, where together we explore the wonderful truths of God's Word to help us face the tests of life with hope and encouragement. Connecting faith to life, Faith Radio.
Well, it's 8 past the hour. It's Thursday afternoon, and I'm Neil Stavem, sitting in for Bill Arnold, and looking forward to catching up with Mindy Belds next. She's senior editor of World Magazine. I hope that you're a subscriber of World. We're big fans of the magazine, and you should be too if you're not familiar with it. She's written for that publication since 1986, and has traveled the globe, author of a wonderful book, powerful book called They Say We're Infidels, about her experiences covering war in Iraq and Syria. And she's covered wars in Afghanistan, Africa, and the Balkans. And when she's home, she does a little gardening. And I promised her that we wouldn't spend the entire time talking about the garden because it's not looking so well, as I recall from your last article, Mindy.
It's looking up.
What's that?
I said it's looking up.
Oh, is that good? Okay. Well, and that's, you know, which is why you're such a good reporter, because you always find the positive even in the midst of, you know, the gloom, maybe. So, you know, I thought maybe just to start, I know we want to do a bit of a world tour, at least to think about what's going on in the Middle East today as regarding the church.
Sure.
But maybe an update on Pastor Andrew Brunson in Turkey. You know, that's a face that has sort of become a known name for us. And, you know, even the president, obviously, the White House trying to have some influence there. I don't know if the Brunson strategy has failed, but what can you tell us about Andrew Brunson's status?
Andrew Brunson was freed and turned over to house arrest at the end of July. And many people, both inside the Trump administration and out, were hoping that at that moment he was going to be released completely and we would see this case come to an end. So while it's an improvement in one sense that he's not still in jail, he has been reunited with his wife there in Izmir, Turkey. It still is, he can't move. He's stuck and certainly can't leave Turkey and is awaiting another trial that currently is scheduled for October 12th. I know a lot of people in the church and the government are hoping that some kind of settlement will be reached. But I think what we've seen since that time, at the end of July, I was actually in Washington at the State Department's Ministerial on Religious Freedom when the sanctions against Turkey were announced by Secretary of State Pompeo. And this was a long overdue move, but once it happened, it was a pretty heavy, we put in some of the most restrictive sanctions that we could put on Turkey, and the president highlighted that they were specifically for the continued jailing or continued holding of Brunson. And so suddenly this pastor from North Carolina, someone who's worked very much below the radar in Turkey for 20-some years doing pastoring and other kinds of ministry, you know, suddenly he's front and center. No one anywhere in the world anymore doesn't know who Andrew Brunson is. And we still don't really know what's going to happen and whether or not the strategy by the Trump administration will work. They've had some success in getting North Korean Americans and Korean Americans who've been jailed in North Korea, getting them released by using pretty much some blunt instruments of diplomacy. Not sure if it's going to happen here. The stakes are pretty high, both for Turkey and for the United States.
Is the Christian church across from Turkey to Iran, Iraq, Middle East, Syria, is it in jeopardy at many points? Obviously, you've covered what's happened in Syria for some time. Give us a sense of where the status is of the believers today.
Right. Well, the reality is this. You know, if you just do the math, that most of the countries that restrict religious freedom are Muslim-dominated countries. So Muslims living in Muslim-dominated countries are okay, while Christians who live in those countries are not. It's just a simple equation that if you live in a country that doesn't have religious freedom and you are a Christian, you are the most likely to be persecuted. And so we see that across the world. We particularly see it in parts of Asia. We have some serious restrictions on Christians and on Muslims happening in India right now. We've talked about Turkey. I think that we should be very concerned about the church and Turkish pastors in Turkey under President Erdogan, because he has very much made this Brunson case about tying Christianity and Christian ministry to terrorism. And we're seeing that sort of strategy happen other places as well. And we continue to see that be the case for Christians living in Iran. And so I think, you know, the Middle East is always a region that is in turmoil and where freedoms are restricted and where Christians are going to be persecuted as a result. And I think there's a reason for that. It really, if you look at your map, if you look at your history, it's geographically, it's a hinge of three continents. It's also the home of the world's three major religions. It's a very tight space, and it's very strategic for its resources and the fact that it is located where it is. And so it's just always going to be a place where I think it's very problematic to be in a minority. And in this case, Christians are very much in minority there. And I think, you know, to sort of tie that broad discussion up, back to your question, that what is so troubling to me is in the time that I have been reporting primarily from Iraq, but also from Syria, from Lebanon, across this region, we've just seen such a throttling of the Christian populations there. And we are continuing to see that no matter how much the church, how much our governments in the West seem to focus on these problems, it isn't getting better for Christians to live in these places, exercise their beliefs, and have reasonable lives. It's just not getting, we're not seeing the improvements we hoped we'd see.
Mindy Bell is the senior editor of World Magazine and writes and reports on God at work around the world and the church in places like the Middle East. As you heard her say, she's traveled a lot in Iraq and Lebanon, Syria. And we'll take a quick break. When we come back, I'll just ask Mindy to maybe share a story or two of, give us a sense of what it means to be a Christian believer in or from Syria and the kind of choices that they have to make. Do they stay? Do they flee? And how does their faith uphold them? Love to get her perspective on that. By the way, you can join the conversation anytime, too. If you have a question or a comment, you can text or call 877-933-2484. More just ahead. Eighteen after the hour, Mindy Belds from World Magazine with us today, travels often and writes powerfully. I want to encourage you to check out World Magazine and her writings. And I'm interested, Mindy, I know one of your great books that you put together is just a compilation of a number of stories of families that are doing their best to live out their faith in spite of difficult circumstances. They say we are infidels. Give us a sense of what a Christian family in Syria maybe has faced over these last few years or may still face today and the kind of hard choices they have to make.
Mm-hmm. Well, they first of all face displacement. You know, they've been forced to leave their homes because of the fighting, because of these horrific airstrikes and even chemical weapon attacks that we've seen happen throughout this war, which is seemingly endless. And it hasn't really stopped. I mean, I think we haven't seen as much attention in the U.S. media about the war in Syria, but it is definitely an ongoing thing. And one of the things that just is complicating it is it has become a proxy war in a sense. And so you have Russia vying for influence and control, and you have Turkey, which actually has troops now 45 miles inside Syria across its border. I was in that region a few months ago and only then began to realize what was happening because both Christians and Kurds and even Yazidis who live in this area were being basically kind of on a lockdown. Like they couldn't, they had fled their homes, but they were being stopped at checkpoints, could not get access to humanitarian groups. I talked with a doctor who had medicine, who had people to help her, who was trying to get into these areas. And at every checkpoint, somebody was keeping her out and meanwhile not allowing these families who had, you know, were without power, without water, without food, were not allowing the families themselves to escape. The the movement of people inside Syria has very, very much become a weapon of war. And the Syrian government is doing this. They move people out of cities. They bomb them to force them out. And then they move other populations into those cities. In other words, just by keeping it destabilized, it somehow means that they don't have to deal with the humanitarian issues, but the people are suffering as a result, and it just continues to be a really horrific situation. We're watching right now the situation in Idlib province, where people suspect there may be a government offensive that starts there to rout some of these rebel groups out. This would include, again, airstrikes and a lot of toll in an area that's already just suffered repeated waves of fighting. And this, I think what we lose track of in the United States, I traveled to these areas quite a bit, 2007, 2008, and have had a much harder time reaching them recently, but have talked to refugees from these areas in Turkey and the Bekaa Valley in Lebanon and places like that. And I think what we lose sight of is that these are very diverse communities. It's not unusual in Syria to find a community, large or small, of Christians, Yazidis, Kurds, Muslims, living together. And they're all suffering. But the problem is that the Christians no longer really have any side to protect them. They have no rebel groups that are on their side. They have no government forces that are really fighting for them, and so they are stuck in these situations like we described, where they can't even reach a doctor or reach food and things like basic necessities.
You encounter, you know, families maybe just like us, right? They're petrol workers, or I mean teachers or accountants or something. I mean, to be faced with this must be pretty challenging to say, you know. And it's one thing, I guess, if a father says, "I'm going to stay," but if he's got, you know, wife and kids, that has some implications, right, about the threats to them.
That's right. And I think that, you know, the problem for journalists is that a lot of times the people we're interviewing are the survivors. We don't know what happened to the whole families that were bombed inside their apartments and things like that. But the interviews that I've done this year, especially earlier this year, you know, I was interviewing families. I interviewed a couple, the husband in his 80s, the son, the wife in her 70s. All of their children had been killed in the war. They had no family left, and they had made their way to Turkey. It's kind of a miraculous story how they did, but they are living in an abandoned apartment building on a very rough dirt floor, very few, no furniture, a couple of mattresses that an aid group had given them. And these are small aid groups in many cases that are reaching these types of survivors. And they just, you know, they're basically beggars and are having to go to government in Turkey in this case, which is Turkey is housing 3 million refugees right now, and most of them are from Syria. Lebanon has 1 million, and Jordan has another close to 1 million. And now I'm going back to some of the same churches. I revisited a church in Jordan just actually with my family this summer. And we talked with the pastor again. I've now talked with him 3 or 4 times and have seen the work that they're doing. It's really remarkable how they are supporting Syrian refugees. But it seems to have no end. There's a political will to resolve this war. There's no humanitarian concern or program for trying to find a way for civilians to actually survive and have a life while the war continues. And I think what's lost on us is that the Assad government wants it that way. These rebel groups want it that way. They want the humanitarian toll. It is part of the cost of the war, it's part of the way that they are clawing and trying to win territory and win control at this point. It's one of the most desperate situations I've ever covered, and yet it seems that there just is no will in the world for resolving it.
So, as always, opportunity for God's people to step in, to move toward the chaos instead of away. What would you recommend?
That's right.
As you've seen, been there on the ground, what would be the most effective way for us to make some difference, to have an impact?
Well, I do think that entering in, being willing to enter in on a small scale is one of the first things, because it's just such a chaotic situation. It's very hard for big groups to function, big groups to actually see a lot of success, even though some of them are there. I've been very impressed with, for instance, this church that I mentioned in Jordan, and we actually keep a list at the World Magazine website, where we list out organizations that we know are doing good work among Christians and others who are refugees in both Iraq and in Syria. And, the Marka Church in Amman, they have a website. They are setting up enterprises for refugees so that they have employment and things to do. They're selling some of the things that they're making. We've seen these kinds of works, but I've actually been back enough to see that this one has really taken hold and is making a difference in people's lives. I've seen how these families are able to send their children to school at this church. They've started a primary school that is growing. The children are learning English. English hasn't been taught inside Syria for a number of years. And now I walk into these classrooms and I have these 5 and 6 year old Syrians who greet me in English. Mm-hmm. And it's just wonderful. And it's also a very loving place where the kids are really cared for, and they develop a sense of belonging. And I think that is the most basic thing that refugees lose, is where do I belong? And if you're a child who's known nothing but war, these are just fundamental, foundational questions. And so what some of these churches are doing, and there are many of them, if you go to a country like Jordan or Lebanon, I just continually am running into the work that is happening. And then, of course, churches inside these countries, and that's kind of the story of my book, that people in the middle of a war zone who continue to do the work of Christ, continue to be the hands and feet of Christ. And we see churches in Iraq who are supporting 120,000 displaced people who have not been able to return back to their villages.
Right.
This is a really amazing story that I just, some days I think I wish it would end. I wish it would have a happy ending. And then other days, I'm sort of expectant about what is the next thing that we're going to see, because the church is not giving up.
Well, Mindy,
in this region is not giving up.
I'm glad that it's not, and I wish that we had more time to talk, because I always love visiting with you. I want to encourage people to check out the information and find a link on the World website, World Magazine. Mindy Bell, senior editor there, kind enough to join us for a few minutes today on the afternoon show, and we're going to have more coming up here on the program in just a moment. Stay tuned. We're back. It's 31 past the hour. It's the afternoon show with Bill Arnold. Bill's off this week, and I'm happy to be filling in. I'm Neil Stavem, and looking forward to introducing my next guest here in a moment. I do want to just follow up with Mindy Belds. If you hopefully were challenged, encouraged to say maybe there's a place that I can have to make an impact for brothers and sisters in Christ that are facing unimaginable situations, you can go to world.wng.org. .org. World.wng.org. They have a link there where there's some ministries that are working particularly in Lebanon with Syrian refugees. So I just want to point that out to you. Glad to have you tuned in. It's Thursday, August 30th. I noticed that today was the birthday of billionaire investor Warren Buffett. And just reminded me that Bill Arnold has a great story about a visit with Warren Buffett once, so you'll have to write him and ask him to tell that to you sometime. We've got another birthday we're going to talk about coming up here on the 8th of September, and we'll tell you about that in a minute. Stay tuned.
So what if Roe is overturned? For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with The Point. As I've said on Breakpoint, even if Brett Kavanaugh is confirmed for the Supreme Court, there's no guarantee Roe v. Wade will be overturned. And even if it is overturned, and I pray it will be, the battle over abortion will return to the states. Two states, it seems, are preparing for this. This November, citizens of Alabama and West Virginia will vote on pro-life amendments to their state constitutions. The Alabama amendment would affirm it is the public policy of the state to recognize and support the sanctity of unborn life and the rights of unborn children. The West Virginia amendment reads, nothing in this Constitution secures or protects a right to abortion or requires the funding of abortion. So what's happening in your state? Why not get in touch with local pro-life leaders to find out and send your state representatives copies of the Alabama and West Virginia amendments? It's not too early to prepare for post-Roe, state by state. For more on faith and culture, come to Breakpoint.org. I'm John Stone Street.
But we're looking forward to connecting this afternoon with Dr. Jeremiah Johnston, who's president of the Christian Thinker Society, author of several books, including Unimaginable and Unanswered. He's a regular contributor for FoxNews.com and has developed an excellent rapport with a number of members of the media and is on frequently. He's ministers internationally, a great speaker, and he is a resident at the Houston Baptist University, a professor of early Christianity there. And he's also going to be launching a new program here on Faith Radio coming up in a couple of weeks. We're going to talk about that just ahead. Jeremiah, welcome to Back to Faith Radio.
Oh, it's great to be back, and I'm so excited about our new program.
It's happening on September 8th, launches be 11 a.m. Central Time, noon Eastern, the Jeremiah Johnston Show, and we're going to dive in, talk about that in a few minutes. Jeremiah, you've been answering and working through a lot of tough questions for a number of years. Is that you're a New Testament scholar? Or did it just become a passion to really dive into some of the hard questions?
That's a great question. I mean, it really was birthed out of my own heart and life of, yes, I became a Christian as a child, but that doesn't mean that questions stop, does it? I mean, it just because we become a Christian, our questions just change. They're different. And I had this overwhelming desire to investigate the deep questions that I had at the heart of my own Christian life. I wanted to own my own faith. And so really out of the embryonic beginnings of my own Christian faith that I developed this love that, if Christianity is true, and I do believe it is, if the resurrection of Jesus is true, if everything the Bible says is true, guess what? God can take my most difficult questions. And I certainly have seen that to be so true in my own life. And that really gave birth to Christian Thinker Society, our ministry, almost a decade ago, of just inspiring Christians and pastors to love God with all their heart, soul, and mind, to be Christian thinkers.
On the back of your book, Unanswered, you remind us that we live in a radically skeptical age. And I just think that seems like such a fitting description for our day. Why do you think that is?
Well, there's no question that radical skepticism is on the rise. When you look at the fact that we're not just living in a culture of confusion, there are so many competing voices. Anything you turn on, radio, television, internet, social media, there is confusion, there is competing voices. And unfortunately, when Christians do not have recourse to the Word of God, when they don't know that those answers are actually found in the Bible, not on Google, we can get really confused very quickly. The converse is true as well. I mean, I think of the reason I have a heart for Christians who struggle with questions, deep questions. I mean, you can't get out of the Gospels without seeing this to be true. I mean, Neil, I think of Mark chapter 9, that interesting passage, verse 22 to 24, where the father is having a crisis with his son. In fact, this is the only episode in the gospel narratives, in all four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, when the disciples are not able to cast out a demon. The dad is at his wit's end, and he looks at Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who just a few verses earlier was transfigured, and he looks at Jesus, he's overwhelmed by his problem and his question, and he says, if you can do anything, will you do it? I love this. It's the only place I see Jesus talking a little trash in the New Testament, by the way. Jesus actually says, if I can, asking that question, if I can, And guess what? The dad says, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And the beautiful aspect of the Christian life is that the father was not chastised by Jesus. All we need is that faith of a mustard seed, and Jesus performed this amazing miracle for the father. And I think that so many of our listeners, so many people that are engaged in the Christian life or busy in their own lives, we're kind of where that father is, aren't we, Neil? Lord, we believe, but I don't believe. Help me in my unbelief.
Yeah. It makes me wonder if there have always been, tough questions. Have we as Christians become less effective at providing answers, or were we never really that good at?
We were. Actually, what's beautiful about the embryonic beginnings of the Christian faith and the first 300 years of the church, the Christian leaders outthought all of their opponents. I mean, my son, Justin, is named after Justin Martyr. I mean, can you imagine in the second century, we have Justin Martyr responding to letters from the emperors, explaining that Christians are indeed great citizens. He's able to speak to the questions of the day. And this is the job not of a few elite forces out there in the Christian life. According to the Bible, Jude 3 says that every Christian should be able to contend for their own faith. What does that mean? It means we have the ability to answer the questions our culture is asking about the faith today. But unfortunately, when we get away from the Word of God, when we get away from the teaching of God's Word, and when we have this reticence to, or this hesitation to ask questions, it's a terrible mixture that poisons the well of our Christian life. We're unable to speak to the questions of culture today. And I think there are many Christians out there, we can remember a moment when we remained silent. I don't know if it was perhaps a high school class or a university classroom or just at soccer practice when you knew what you were hearing wasn't quite right, but you just didn't feel equipped to speak to it. And so you might have just been quiet. And guess what? Those are the moments where God wants us to speak up. But guess what? We can't speak up without knowing something and knowing our faith. And that's where apologetics, that's where having what you referenced, this thinking faith, is so vitally important.
Dr. Jeremiah Johnston, New Testament a scholar, professor, apologist, frequent speaker, and we're talking today about a new program coming to Faith Radio here in a couple weeks. Just interesting, you said, the questions the culture is asking today, are the questions the same at the core, or has there been a shift? So are you encountering different questions today than, say, 10 years ago?
I am, Neil. There's certain questions that I think are timeless, that, people are always going to struggle with certain timeless issues, and the Bible can speak to those, but without a doubt, there are different questions. I mean, in the second century, people thought Christians were cannibals because they didn't understand the communion feast. They just didn't get it. They thought Christians were atheists because they didn't worship the emperor. Well, people don't have those questions today, do they, about the Christian faith? And the questions are far different. And Neil, I feel like I have a somewhat informed opinion. I have received 10,000 text message questions from audiences not only in America, but in the United Kingdom, on the continent of Europe, and in Canada. And I am amazed. That's why we did a book, Bible study, and video series. That's why I feel led of God to partner with you all and do the Jeremiah Johnston Show. The questions are so stark. People need help. And I'm amazed at the nature of the questions. I mean, my number one question right now is, how do we achieve mental wellness in the Christian life? This whole question of well-being, the whole intersection of mental illness, suicide, and the Christian faith. How do we deal with that? Other questions about the paranormal. What do we do with all of the paranormal ideation that we're seeing in the world? And so I'm amazed. So I think some questions remain the same, but there are new questions, I think, in every Christian generation, and it's on us. It's our responsibility to speak to those.
Well, we're going to take a little quick break now and then come back and give Jeremiah an opportunity to answer one of those big questions, whether he can dig through his 10,000 text messages here during the break and pull out an example. And we'll talk about what this new program is going to be about, the Jeremiah Johnston Show, coming September 8th here on the Faith Radio Network, 11 a.m. Central Time, an hour's worth of great content with Dr. Jeremiah Johnston. He is our guest this afternoon here on Faith Radio, and there's more to come. Stay tuned. And we say here in the afternoon show, Bill Arnold, that it's about faith, hope, and clarity. And that's one of Dr. Jeremiah Johnston's passions, to work with local churches and pastors to equip Christians to give intellectually informed accounts of what they believe. He's written several great books, including Unanswered and Unimaginable. He's president of the Christian Thinkers Society, and he is host of a new program starting here in a couple weeks on Faith Radio called The Jeremiah Johnston Show. And Jeremiah, as you have had a chance to travel globally and speak, you get thousands of questions. What would be an example of maybe a kind of question that you receive? And then let's just dive into an answer.
Absolutely. I mean, the number one question that I continue to receive is this whole question of well-being in the Christian life. I'm depressed. I have anxiety. Does God still love me? Am I still a Christian if I'm struggling with anxiety? Do I have a demon? Am I demon-possessed if I have some kind of depression or anxiety in my life? And I think the problem, Neil, is that when we don't speak to these questions, when the church is silent, there is so much room for confusion. And as a Bible scholar, I love it because I've given my life to study what the Word of God has to say about the intersection of life and faith. And so I just was amazed at questions related to suicide, questions related to Christians just not feeling comfortable to, of course, share these questions, especially about mental illness in their Bible studies. Because remember, Neil, Christians don't gossip. They just share prayer requests, right?
That's it.
And, so many feel very uncomfortable. And so when I began to see, when we aggregated at the time around 4,000 questions, that this far and away was the number one question that we had been asked, it really gave me a sensitivity. It doesn't matter people's denomination. It doesn't matter what their Christian tradition is, to go to the Bible and look at what the Bible has to say about the life of the mind. And I was tremendously encouraged because some of God's choicest servants have had deep struggles with depression and anxiety. We see that again and again in the Word of God. For some, it was even lifelong struggles. And yet, the beauty and power of the Christian faith is God's ability to meet us right in the midst of our suffering, our depression, our anxiety, and bring us out of it. And so it was really a wonderful experience. In fact, I named that part of the Unanswered the Church of Invisible Diseases, because, Neil, often so many people suffer in silence. And we began talking about this 4 years ago, and I must say I am so encouraged about the amount, just the increase in voices that I'm hearing. Because 4 years ago, Neil, there were even publishers that really didn't want me to speak to that question. And I am grateful to see that the church is noticing this is an issue we need to speak to.
Is it, I don't want to say simple, but is it just a matter of, you know, Colossians 3:2, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things? I mean, is that are we finding a solution that way?
Absolutely. I think that's part of it. But I think that there's no silver bullet for somebody who is struggling with any of the debilitating mental illnesses that are prevalent in our culture. There's no question, though, that when we don't speak to it, there is so much confusion. And when we also are silent about it, or worse, we ostracize people that are struggling with some kind of mental challenge at the moment, they feel like they're less than. They feel like they're a second-rate Christian. And then, God forbid, when we see the suicide of even Christian leaders in the Christian community, it causes so much confusion. God, where are you when those kinds of things happen? And so, you know, I've had the privilege, truly an honor, to speak on this very issue across the world. And it has brought so much healing, Neil, when you just bring up the issue and you give the biblical paradigm to return to right thinking and to be strengthened in faith. I have heard stories I will never forget, meeting men and women who have struggled and said, thank you so much for clarifying that. That's been a question I've had for, you know, 14 years. I'll never forget speaking at a women's conference in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And this was my whole message was on the life of the mind and the Christian life. And sadly, this woman's husband had taken his own life, and somebody had quoted a verse out of scripture to her and said, anyone who commits suicide automatically goes to hell immediately. There's just no grace there whatsoever. They go immediately straight to hell. And of course, quoted a passage from the Old Testament completely out of context. Guess what? The Bible doesn't say that suicide is the unpardonable sin. The unpardonable sin is rejecting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. There is only one sin that God cannot forgive, and that is the sin of rejecting the free gift of salvation through the resurrection and His Son. And when I answered that question, she found me afterwards, and she wept. She said, I'm going to go home and sleep for the first time in 12 years because I've been struggling that long and no one has talked about this. And so I think that's really the beauty of this new show that we're going to have together, is this opportunity to meet people, yes, on the mountaintops, yes, in the valleys, but also at the tipping point, in the tension of the struggle, their most vulnerable moments. This show will be a lifeline for men and women to be able to call in, connect with us, where we're going to leave no stone unturned. We're going to investigate these difficult questions together.
It's coming. It starts on Saturday, September 8, 11 a.m. Central, noon Eastern, the Jeremiah Johnson Show. And just give us a little sense of, as you said, mountaintops, tipping points, anything in between. But what's going to happen on the program? It's an hour long.
Well, my goal is to serve people. I want to equip and resource and lead people to discover the timeless biblical solutions to both the really complicated, complex issues and those everyday challenges. I mean, Neil, I'm a father of five kids. I have triplets who are two. Y'all pray for me. I have three 2-year-olds right now. And then, you know, I'm also on the front lines, as you say, as an apologist, dealing with atheism, agnosticism, and all of the best arguments against the Christian faith. And I know one thing, I have questions that range from the spectrum of parenting and fatherhood and being married now 14 years, all the way to the front lines of the battlefield of the Christian faith as an apologist. And I think what's so great is that when we sincerely look for an answer, God will give us that answer that we need in our Christian faith. And I want to make sure people understand it's not a sin to question your faith. It's not a sin to have a question in your faith. So often those questions are what permeate. They lead us to a deeper, greater understanding of God's love for us, a greater understanding of how comprehensive our faith is. And so we're going to talk about all kinds of interesting issues. I've got a lot of friends in the Christian world that I'm going to invite to join us for some entertaining, exciting interviews. And then we're going to give just practical, pointed answers. You know, we're not going to do a seminary theology. We're not going to try to do that in 45 minutes. I mean, we are going to give solid answers, soundbite answers, and that have a lot of substance behind them as well, to the questions that men and women have. And I'm so excited to start this journey with everybody through the Jeremiah Johnston Show.
It comes September 8th, and I want to just encourage you to be watching and listening for more information about that, and just plan to engage with us. And you know, we'll have opportunities to call and to text, to email, to just connect with Jeremiah. I know it's going to be a great time. You know, as you say, you know, doubts and faith will always coexist, and I think that's maybe one of the keys, is that it's you're willing to live in that tension, aren't you?
I am, and you know, and unfortunately, there are some Christian leaders and some Christian denominations that are not, and that is where I want to stand up and say, wait a minute, we have the truth on our side. There's no question that we cannot ask. And Neil, I mean, I can give you case study after case study. I mean, the Christian population in the United Kingdom fell by over 5.3 million Christians in the last decade. In fact, I had someone send me an article recently that if the trend continues, this person purported, there will be no Christians left by 2060, my lifetime, if the attrition rate continues. The BBC did a survey of why so many people in the United Kingdom had left the church. Guess what the answer was? The number one reason that people have left the church in the United Kingdom, by the way, 98% don't attend church now with any regularity. The number one reason given, the church will not answer my unanswered questions. So do you see, this is such a great opportunity for us to give people freedom, to give people healing by just simply opening the Word of God and saying, let's get to that question and let's find what God's Word has to say about that issue.
Jeremiah's written a book, and there's a DVD study series with it called Unanswered. His latest book called Unimaginable, What Our World Would Be Like Without Christianity. And we don't really have time to dive into all the amazing studies that you've researched that you've done on that. But I do want to talk, because this week was the anniversary of not only Hurricane Katrina, but just last week, I think the anniversary, 1-year anniversary of Hurricane Harvey. And you being a Houston resident, you are right in the middle of that. Just talk a bit about that experience. You know, father of five, that's no small thing to deal with this, what came through.
It's not. We were evacuees for 9 days during Hurricane Harvey, of course, the worst natural disaster in American history. More rain fell on Texas in those couple-day period than at any other time since records were kept of rainfall in the United States. And people at the first, the government officials were telling all of us to shelter in place, but as the rains kept falling, there began to be press conferences, urgent press conferences, beginning to announce different levee districts. And my wife and I, we live in a levee district here in one of the suburbs of Houston that needed to be evacuated immediately. And so with no warning, our phone went off with that amber alert sound that we're all familiar with, that we needed to evacuate at first light. And I want to tell you, it's difficult to evacuate. It's very complex. And so we ended up trying 5 of 6 different evacuation routes. They were all impassable. I actually had to drive the opposite way in traffic just to get out of the city. Otherwise, we would have been stuck with 3 1-year-olds on the side of the road. Very dangerous situation. And there's a lot more that went into our story, but the great silver lining of not only our story, but millions of others of Houstonians in the wake of Hurricane Harvey was the way people of faith responded to this disaster. It was amazing. It's documented that Christians outpaced the government, bringing aid and helping men and women, not just with immediate needs of shelter as we needed. We needed shelter. We didn't have diapers, Neil, which was a huge problem. We had to leave immediately, but also helping people with temporary shelters and then helping people, as you say, muck out their homes to begin all of the remediation from the effects of flooding. And it was amazing, Neil. I mean, if you can just imagine it in your mind's eye, Christians coming together, cross-denominationally, literally going out in teams. I mean, it was like SWAT teams for God, knocking on people's doors saying, hey, you know, I'm Jeremiah, I'm from X church down the road, and I'm here to help serve you. And nobody said no. And we live in the most ethnically diverse county in America here in Houston, Neil. So can you imagine all of the different cultures at work here? And yet no one would say no. They needed help. And so this love, there was such a great spirit of love in our city, so many salvations. And so it was one of those Genesis 50, 19, and 20 moments. You know, what the enemy meant for bad, God turned for good. And guess what? That's the great power of the Christian faith. Not only its ability to answer people's questions, but its ability to show up in the most difficult times through God's people. And so I'm a recipient of that. I celebrate that. I celebrate it with the churches in town. And guess what? I still have friends, Neil, that are not yet back in their homes, if you can imagine that, a year later. And so please continue to pray for Houston, pray for those that are affected, and pray for those that are still here serving.
Well, Jeremiah, we just have actually about 90 seconds left. I'm wondering if you would just maybe close us in prayer and just ask God's direction and blessing as we launch this new show here together in a couple weeks.
Heavenly Father, it is such a joy to come together in Jesus' name with not only my friend Neil, but all the men and women listening to us right now. We come together in the powerful name of Jesus, and we know that you are in our midst. Father, we want to pray for the launch of the new show, Jeremiah Johnston Show, that every word spoken, God, the words of our mouth, the meditations of our heart would be pleasing in your sight. I pray for every program on Faith Radio that so powerfully proclaims the hope, the truth of the Word of God. I pray, Lord, that it would create Christians, just like the tribe of Issachar in 1 Chronicles 12:32. Men and women who understood the times, they knew what Israel should do. God, give us the clarity that only you can bring us through the power of your Holy Spirit and the Word of God. We give you great glory today, and we thank you for all the men and women behind the scenes at Faith Radio who make this station possible across America 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Father, put a hedge of protection and a blessing with them. In Jesus' name we pray, and join me in saying, amen.
Amen. Amen. Dr. Jeremiah Johnston is president of the Christian Thinkers Society, author of several books like Unimaginable and Unanswered, and he's going to be joining us here on September 8th, 11 a.m. Central Time, 1 hour interactive talk show airing live, and we'll provide the timeless comfort and answers from God's Word. I know you're going to want to be listening for it and watch for more information on it here in the days ahead. That's all the time we have for today's show. I want to remind you again that tomorrow it's Answer Prayer Friday on the second half to wrap up the week of the afternoon show, Bill Arnold. So I hope that you'll be ready to call and share with us at that point. And look forward to having you listening in. You can always check out the conversation today online at myfaithradio.com.
Thanks for listening. Programming like this is made available through your support. Information available at myfaithradio.com.